talked to Pastor last night, and he indicated that he'd like to share a few highlights about convention when he gets back. He did mention that the convention project, the goal was to raise $21,000. They're about three quarters to that goal. And if anyone would like to contribute to that, we can still do that. Just designate your offering as the convention project, and those funds would be directed there. If Pastor is in a series, he will sometimes ask us to continue that series while he is away. He hasn't assigned us a passage this morning, and so I'd like to consider two questions with you today. The first is, does God have a plan for our lives? Does God have a blueprint for you? There are those that would say yes and those that would say no, but our opinions don't really matter. What does the Word say? So what I would like to do this morning is share with you some passages of Scripture. I haven't gone on a search through Scripture looking specifically for proof texts, but as that question has been in the back of my mind over the years that I've read Scripture, there are Scriptures that to me confirm that He does have a plan for our lives, and I would just like to share with you some of those passages of Scripture. The first would be Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." The passage doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, "I will make you into a great nation." And I would remind you at this point, Abraham was married, but they didn't have children at this point. Seems they didn't have the internet and they just couldn't get the right recipe together. But God said, "I will make you into a great nation, Abraham. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That last sentence was looking 1,500, 2,000 years into the future. Looking to the time when Christ was going to come. Christ's death on the cross was going to be a blessing to all people. Do you think God had a plan for Abraham? Let's go on to Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.'" A prophet was God's spokesperson. So before Jeremiah was born, God had a plan for him to be his spokesperson to the nations. Listen to David's testimony in Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, David says, "God wove you me together. You wove me together in my mother's womb." And then he goes on to say, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book." After the fact? No. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." David believed that God had his life mapped out, his whole life mapped out before one day came to be, before he was born. And you might be saying, "Yeah, but those were all important people. What about ordinary Joes like you and me? Does God have a plan for us?" In Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 29, Jesus is speaking and he's talking about the ordinary. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." You know, if you go into a lumber yard and ask for a certain item, they can check their computer to find out whether they've got a certain kind of screw and it's still in stock. What kind of a computer does God have? Where he has numbered the hair on our head and he knows when they fall out and how many. You think that's a little bit over the top? Notice what Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he, God, chose us in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You may have always thought that you were an accident, and maybe you were. But I can tell you that you were not an accident to God. Before the creation of the world, God chose you. And he chose you for a purpose, that you might live a holy, blameless life.
I'm so sorry.
Don't be. Hey, you didn't check anything coming out of my nose, though. You know, is that how we live our lives? Realizing that God, in eternity past, had his eye on us. He's been watching us every day of our lives. And into eternity future? Is that how we live our lives? Or do we live our lives like the people James wrote about in James chapter 4? Where he said, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin to them. If we realize God has a plan, but if we ignore it and do our own thing, James says, we sin. Back to the first question. Does God have a plan for our lives? I am convinced from Scripture that he does. A second question that we want to look at is, if God does have a plan for our lives, how can I determine what that plan is? How can I know where God would want me to be and what he would have me to do? Years ago, ships had a challenge finding their way into the various harbors that they entered in as they went from place to place, and so a system was devised. And I'm going to ask some of you, pretend we're in a Pentecostal church, and just Silas here was going to ask you to raise your hand, and Don, we're going to ask you to raise your hand, and then the lady behind him, maybe you can raise your hand. Yeah, I see that hand. Now, Don, if you can just move over a little bit, I know your wife will like that. Just a little. There you go. We don't want the engineer to get fired on this job. That's good. So, if they had determined that this is a safe entrance into the harbor, they would put lights on the shore, 3, 4, 5 lights. BC Hydro wasn't in charge of them, so some might go out. And on the sea, a ship is sailing, and it sees those lights, and there's 3 of them, and that's not the place to go. But he continues, and as those 3 lights become 1, he knows that this is a safe channel, and he can hone in and he can go in safely knowing, thanks folks, that, and I believe that God has a similar way of directing us. And he uses lights or markers that we can follow that will determine whether we are in his will or not. And one of those markers is his word. I'll give you five markers, and they're all sort of starting with C, sort of. The first one is God's plan for your life is consistent with his word. Psalm 119 and verse 5, many of you have memorized that verse. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. How so? God gives us a zillion guidelines, principles, instructions, directions, how he wants us to live our lives. There are guidelines for parents and children, for employers and employees, for husbands, for wives. There are guidelines regarding our speech, seasoned with grace. There are guidelines regarding our dress. We are to dress modestly. We are to walk humbly before the Lord. So when we are considering a course of action, does God's word shed some light on the subject? Suggests that we have an understanding, a good grasp of the word to know whether his word has something to say to that or not. So that's one of the lights. The second is a consistent conviction in one direction. When we became believers, God's Spirit took up residence within us. God's Spirit communicates with our spirit. And he nudges us, he prompts us, he convicts us in one direction. When you were kids, you wanted to be a fireman one week and a policeman and then a hockey player. And then on Sunday night, you heard a missionary and you wanted to be a missionary. And you're all over the map with those desires, those notions. God's conviction through his Spirit is in one direction. I'm going to ask Trudy to come and share a story from her life that illustrates that point.
Hello. Good morning. My name is Trudy, and I'm a Christian. I got baptized last year in January. Since accepting Christ into my life, my life has transformed, and this is just an example of this. Before I accepted Christ, I practiced shamanism and energy healing. Once I accepted Christ, I struggled with letting it go, and I tried to find a way for it to fit into my new life. The truth was that God had already hedged me in as he kept blocking my continued path there, as courses would fall through, instructors would leave, or courses would conflict with other priorities in my life. Once getting baptized, I still thought that I could do both. I'm just a little bit stubborn. But once again, God showed me otherwise. I had this turmoil going on inside of me, and so I shared it with a Christian friend. And she talked about scripture, and she talked about serving only one God, not serving idols and other gods, and encouraged me to pray on it and let scripture reveal itself. So through the next few months, I was led in scriptures to verses about other gods, idols, and witchcraft. And I started to become very uncomfortable with all the books and the paraphernalia and the things that were in my home. So the Holy Spirit led me one day to just cleanse my house, and I literally just got up and I threw it all out. And then I prayed, and I prayed for cleansing. I prayed for the evil spirits to leave, and I asked for forgiveness and for Christ to come into my home and protect it. And I asked for peace. Over the next few days, my whole perception changed, and I realized how much that had occupied my mind, my heart, my home, and that it had really kept Jesus at a distance. So now I know that when I pray for understanding and willingness to let go of the things that are unpleasing to God, the Holy Spirit will guide me. And as my friend Esther says, when in doubt, just check scripture. It always has to line up. If it doesn't, it doesn't come from God. So I just want to thank you all for being brothers and sisters in Christ and for all your encouragement and guidance. God bless.
So one of the things God uses to give us direction, to keep us in his way, is a conviction in one direction. I want to suggest a third possibility, a third marker, a third light that God uses to give us direction, and that is the counsel of godly people who know us. Seeking counsel is not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of men. Pardon me, it's not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of wisdom. And that's why men find it so easy to seek counsel. Amen? When we seek counsel, we are not giving up control. We're simply asking for someone else's opinion, his advice on a certain issue, and the ball is still in our court when it comes to the final decision. In Proverbs 11, verse 14, we read, "In the multitude of counselors, there is safety." So do we take counsel from just anyone? Or Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." Someone who knows the scriptures, someone who knows us, already has 90% of the information that he needs to counsel us. We simply need to give him the few pieces that we want advice on, and they can give us godly advice. I heard a story just a week ago where a young fellow has graduated from university and now real life begins, and he's looking for jobs, so he has circulated his resume. And lo and behold, he is offered a full-time job. But what's he to do? He calls his mother, and his mother listens to the dilemma. He got a degree in a certain area of study, and now he is offered a job that has nothing to do with his degree. Sometimes we're sort of confused in the fog of life. And his mother sort of cut through the fog with a simple question. How are you going to pay the rent? My advice to you would be, I would take the job. And if you're not happy with it, I would keep looking, but at least you're going to eat. Godly counsel, counsel from people who know us, can be helpful in seeing the forest when we can't see it for the trees. And sometimes God uses that counsel to give us guidance. A fourth light that we can look to is circumstances. Sometimes God directs us through circumstances. A number of years ago, we had served at a church for a number of years, and we just felt it was our time to move on, but we didn't know all the pieces are where we were going to go, and they had a number of questions. So I went to the EI office to get some information. And in those days, they didn't have computers, and everything was in his book. And so he looked in his book for the information that I asked for, and he said, I can't help you. I don't have anything there. But you said you were a minister. Yes, I am. And he said, there's a church in BC that's looking for a pastor. And I said, I don't think it would be my kind of church. By the way, the board is looking for a youth pastor. Have you checked the EI office? Long story short, that was a joke. I mean, it wasn't a joke. It actually happened. But I walked out of that office, and he couldn't give me any information. It was just a church in BC looking for a pastor. And then he phoned back the next day because it was late in the afternoon and Ontario was already closed. So he called back the next day and he gave me the information about that church. And as far as Esther and I were concerned, it was a joke, but I think God likes humor on occasion, and if you just don't believe that, just look in the mirror sometime. And I followed that up because, you know, I was at a graduate school, and knew all the information, all the questions that I needed to ask, and the guy at the other end of the phone couldn't answer any of those questions. He said, you know, he's a new Christian, and he said, we love the Lord, and we preach the Bible, and we're looking for a pastor. My wife wasn't totally impressed with, but I said, you know, if God doesn't, or if we don't know that Rome exists, God's going to have a hard time leading us there. And so we communicated with that church, and I said, it was going to be a long story short, it's a little late for that, but we landed up at that church, and we spent 10 years there. And as we reflect on our 30 years in ministry, those 10 years are hands down the highlight of our years in ministry. God sometimes gives us direction through circumstances. Doesn't trump his word, but he sometimes gives us guidance through circumstances. The fifth and final light or marker I want to share with you that God uses in giving us direction is common sense. God has given us a brain. And generally, in our Christian walk, we direct our course based on sanctified common sense. Common sense that is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, aware of God's word, and so when there are times where we just don't know what God wants us to do. If you look down and your gas gauge says empty, you don't struggle a whole lot. You just do something about it. But there are times where we don't know what God wants us to do. There might be two or three options. And so, Lord, I really don't know what I ought to do. And so we're just going to chart a course based on our common sense. And if you don't want us to go there, we're going to ask you to close some doors. Do you think God can close doors? Remember the story of David? Things are going well in his kingdom. He's built a beautiful palace for himself. And he says one day, I think I should build a temple, a beautiful place for God. And he runs that by Nathan. And Nathan says, right on, bro, go for it. That night, Nathan has a visit from God. And God says, you need to go back to David and tell him that I've got a different contractor in mind. My wife visited some friends, relatives actually, to visit. Just so happened it was graduation time. So she got to visit and take in this graduation. Beautiful young girl graduates in a class of over 900 students. She is number one. Straight A's, not just straight A's, but she's number one out of that whole graduating class. Her brother has gone to a certain university and she'd sort of like to go there as well. So she applies to that university. And people of that stature, you would think the universities would be stumbling over themselves. Her application was rejected. Why? God simply closed the door. He had something better in mind for her. This morning we have considered two questions. Does God have a plan for my life? And I believe Scripture confirms that he does. How can I know God's plan? It's consistent. His plan for my life is consistent with his word. a consistent conviction in one direction, his spirit communicating with our spirit, the counsel of godly people who know us, circumstances in common sense. When two or three of those line up, go for it. And if that's not God's will, he can close doors. I trust that that information will be helpful to you. But more than that, I trust that you will be able to take that information and share it with people in your circle of acquaintance. Because we are all, whether we've had lots of birthdays or just a few birthdays, we are all facing decisions. We're all facing intersections in the course of life. And I trust that we will be able to share that information with others because we're simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And if you have forgotten those five C's, you have permission to ask the person sitting next to you. And together, maybe you'll come up with more of the five than you alone. Father, we thank you for your mercies to us. Your mercies are new every day, and we are grateful. We thank you that in your love, you have designed a good plan for each of our lives, a plan to prosper and not to harm, a plan with a hope and a future. Forgive us where we go our own ways, and in your love and mercy, bring us back. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word and its richness. Help us to be not hearers of your word, but doers, for we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.